Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Organization. Tonight's topic: George Zimmerman, the slayer of Trayvon Martin, is suing Trayvon's parents. George Zimmerman has included the parents of Trayvon Martin in a lawsuit alleging his character has been smeared and they fabricated a witness against him. He is suing for $100 million after killing their unarmed 17-year-old son. From Provocative Thought, if you had an idea that Zimmerman was a little special, this definitely confirms it. From what I've read about him, he hardly needs anyone to tell a lie about him to defame his character or dirty his name. In fact, right about now, George Zimmerman is a dirty word. Now, this infamous killer seeks to be compensated for being defamed. George Zimmerman is suing Trayvon Martin's mother, parents, for $100 million. So he was charged with the death of Trayvon Martin, and basically he was acquitted. And now he's suing for defamation of character, $100,000. He's suing the parents, and let me see, he has the prosecutors, lawyers, and family members are all listed as defendants in his lawsuit. Namely, Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, is listed as lead defendant. So the lawsuit also specifically cites the publishers of Open Season, Legalized Genocide of Colored People, for wrongful defamation of Zimmerman's character, written by Benjamin Crump, who was one of Martin's attorneys. I think the book was released in October. In the United States. So, again, this character, Mr. Zimmerman, takes no responsibility and has no remorse for his actions. After all, he simply killed an unchained, untrained dog. Now, he's back on the street. It appears he did exactly what he wanted to do, kill. His actions that led up to the murdering of Trayvon Martin and after murdering him, is defamation of character enough? So the article goes on to say that Zimmerman's lawsuit rests on newly discovered evidence that alleges that the Martin family engineered a fake witness during Zimmerman's trial. He said Crump said, the attorney, I have every confidence that this unfounded and reckless lawsuit will be revealed for what it is, another failed attempt to defend the indefensible and shameless attempt to profit off the lives and grief of others. That's what Mr. Crump said. He's the attorney that wrote a book. Zimmerman was arrested and charged for shooting an unarmed 17-year-old, which is Trayvon Martin, who was visiting his father in a gated community. I think it's Sanford, Florida, somewhere. In 2012, Martin was found dead shortly after Zimmerman called police that night to report him as a suspicious person. So, let me see. Oh, that's right. Criminalizing, profiling Trayvon Martin is justification for stalking and murdering him. Would this hero have followed Trayvon Martin if he did not have a gun? Or if Trayvon Martin was a 25-year-old black male? Zimmerman's pursuit has all the traits of a predator, the kind of predator that fears, hates, despises the presence of a black man or youth in his neighborhood. Maybe Zimmerman is fearful of gangbangers and associates all hoodie-wearing black folk with gangbanging. Even if he was a gangbanger, he has the right to walk down the street, to visit his father if he lives in a gated community. Somehow, I have a feeling Zimmerman would never approach a real gangbanger, black, white, or Latino, because he knows there would be a retaliation. The fact that Trayvon was unarmed and being followed was insufficient in this case. Ultimately, jurors acquitted Zimmerman of all charges on the basis of self-defense. So we got a 29-year-old guy with a gun pursuing a 17-year-old kid coming from the store, and he gets in a confrontation with him and kills him, and he's found, you know, he's acquitted. Basically, he was acquitted. So here's the jury. They said the jury was six women. Of the women, five of them were white and one of color, the way they explained it. That's a stacked deck, especially since it was actually the victim, Trayvon Martin, who was on trial. It was said that these six women would use common sense in an article in making their decision in whether Zimmerman was guilty of murdering Trayvon Martin or not. Well, common sense says Zimmerman racially profiled Trayvon. The weapon gave Zimmerman a false sense of courage. Apparently, Zimmerman couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper bag. The only lethal threat was the person carrying the lethal weapon. Trayvon may have been a threat to Zimmerman's air of superiority. Many black people have been murdered for less than that. Common sense would lead them to see that police dispatch told Zimmerman not to follow Trayvon Martin because he was not exercising common sense or town watch protocol. And we'll get into that if you're going to get along with further into the show. A person using common sense would have ended their pursuit on the advice of someone who deals with police involved scenarios on a daily basis, especially knowing that police are aware of the situation. Right? He just ignored them. Right? Common sense would have told them that the only reason, the jurors, that the only reason he did pursue Trayvon is because he possessed the power of death in a firearm. This simply means that killing Trayvon Martin was at least an option. Why would Zimmerman have a weapon designed to kill? The answer is to kill or take a life. It's not rocket science. It is not self-defense if you are initiating the conflict or stalking someone. That is common sense. Common sense would tell you Zimmerman expressed bias and animosity, racially profiling Trayvon Martin, saying he looked suspicious. Why? Because he was black and wearing a hoodie in his neighborhood? Maybe Trayvon Martin made eye contact with Zimmerman. That can be intimidating or an insult to a supremacist, oppressor, racist, or aggressor. According to Trayvon's girlfriend, who was on the phone with him when he was being followed, Zimmerman looked suspicious stalking him, and Trayvon was understandably apprehensive. If the adult had used common sense, Trayvon Martin would not have been murdered. Not that day, not by Zimmerman. This is more than an attempt to defend this murderer. It is a message of superiority, breach of justice, breach of trust, if there ever was any, in the criminal justice system. A link in the chain that led to Trayvon Martin's death by this poor excuse for a town watchman. It is a dissociative, irresponsible act by an individual who was allowed to profit from a murder he committed, now seeking to profit from and to mock the grieving parents of the teen, armed with Skittles and a sweet drink that he murdered. This predator saw it fit to stalk, harass, and eventually gunned down Trayvon Martin, an unarmed black youth, en route to his father's house from a store visit. Then he blamed Trayvon Martin for his own murder. I guess that is what you do when a black man is involved in a conflict. You criminalize him. You demonize him. It worked. This is a bad man who appears to believe that he is above the law. What's odd about it is he does appear to be above the law. The auction ends at for the gun that killed Trayvon Martin. This is from USA Today. He said this guy auctioned off his gun for, I think, three times he had an auction. It seemed like some people were blowing the auction up because the amount was astronomical that people were bidding for. But it said eventually it was auctioned off for 100. What was it? That price. Was it $138,000 and $900, something like that? Anyway, Zimmerman made a statement saying Trayvon's parents capitalized on their son's death and treated him like a dog without a leash. The auction ended on the sale of the gun that he used to kill Trayvon Martin in 2012. He killed him in 2012. I don't know. In an earlier statement, Zimmerman said he had planned to use the money for the sale of the gun to fight Black Lives Matter. Anybody know Black Lives Matter? That's a group that's advocating for justice for black people in these incidents of police brutality and murdering of black people because black people are murdered disproportionately by the police in this country. All right? He's also to fight violence against law enforcement officers and to counter Hillary Clinton's anti-firearm rhetoric, he says. It's going to use that money for the sale of that gun. He also said he would the money would be used to ensure the demise of Angela Corey's sick persecution career. Corey was a special prosecutor appointed to investigate Martin's death. So originally when he killed Martin, the police just took his word that he was attacked by Martin and he wasn't even arrested. What happened was they started to protest and he started stomping their feet, made some noise down there, and they had to get a special prosecutor on the case. And that's how Mr. Zimmerman made it to court from The Economist. In 2012, George Zimmerman, a neighborhood watch volunteer, shot and killed Trayvon Martin, an unarmed 17-year-old boy in Sanford, Florida. He was acquitted a year later, and which led to Alisa Garcia, an activist, to post something in Facebook that said, "Black people, I love you. I love us. Our lives matter. Black lives matter." Soon after those last three words went viral, after several high-profile killings of African Americans at the hands of police, Black Lives Matter developed into a movement against police violence and racism with more than 40 chapters in four countries. That's deep right there, because we're talking about countries. You ain't even talking about states. Almost as soon as it began, right? As soon as Black Lives Matter sprang up, Black Lives Matter met with a backlash. Protest slogans such as "All Lives Matter" and "Blue Lives Matter" were created in reference to the police. President Donald Trump has said that Black Lives Matter is a very, very diverse term. He said Black Lives Matter is a diversive term because all lives matter. Diversive means cause disagreement and hostility. So how can something that's designed to, right, to address hostility cause hostility? And that's very interesting. But like you said, if you have a slave that's fighting to be free and fighting for equal treatment under the law, that could generate hostility hostility in this country. It has, and it always has, a slave or black person, minority, trying to get treated like a man, try to get some justice or something like that. And this country historically has been greeted with hostility. Now, I'm not just talking, because we could just look back a couple of years. We got Medgar Evers voted, and they shot him in the back at his house. We got Martin Luther King and a host of people following him getting foot up the butt in a peaceful march. So we know what happens. It's historic here. All right? Anyway, in 2016, a petition was called for the movement to be labeled a terrorist organization. It attracted 140,000 signatures in 2 weeks. So, excuse me, racism is alive and kicking. We can't give any weight to what Donald Trump says. Either he is very ill-informed, stupid, or racist. But that's another show. If there are 140,000 people who say advocating for blacks to have fair and humane treatment by law enforcement is an act of terrorism, that is alarming. It is a testimony to why people are protesting. It is obvious. Black lives don't matter to some people, some law enforcement and judicial and court entities. It's not a new phenomenon, just some hatred that never went away. It is clear that black lives do not matter to this villain. He has no inclination to fight against police violence against blacks and other minorities, though it is well documented and a well-known fact that blacks are disproportionately targeted by law enforcement. He even wants to punish the prosecutor for doing her job. He has demonized Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement, in his mind. He wants to punish everyone for doing the right thing, for pursuing a conviction for the murder of Trayvon Martin. That's like saying, I'm untouchable, and if you try to touch me, you will be punished. George Zimmerman is sending a message out. Apparently, Zimmerman has designated himself the neighborhood dog or nigger catcher. Sorry about that, Kenny. It was not Zimmerman's job to pursue Trayvon Martin. From the Washington Post, the National Sheriff Association stated, the neighborhood watch is supposed to be the eyes and ears in the community. They have no information indicating that Zimmerman's community was a part of that organization, was registered with the National Sheriff's Association as a town on watch unit. Right? He said also, Zimmerman's actions contradict the principles of the neighborhood watch program. Zimmerman's actions was this. I saw somebody. I called the police. That's all he's supposed to do. He's not supposed to pursue him or confront him. Everything else he did outside of that was outside of the protocols of two things. Common sense and the neighborhood town watch protocol. From the L.A. Times. They said a civilian from the Sanford Police Department was volunteering as a coordinator because she believed in the neighborhood watch programs. So what happened was she testified at the trial and said that in the fall of 2011, she visited Zimmerman and the other residents of this housing complex where they lived at, this gated community, right? And they were discussing setting up the town watch program, right? So during her testimony, she said she gave instructions to residents about how to behave when they spotted a suspicious person. Their duty, she said again, their duty is to be the eyes and ears. Report crime as they see it. Report crime as they see it. Now, that doesn't sound like reporting somebody walking down the street, but we're going to go on. She said Zimmerman was there at the neighborhood watch coordinator. All right? So they're not an official neighborhood watch, town watch. Apparently, neighborhood town watch has an official registration that they can have so you can be officially a neighborhood town watch. But they weren't that. And let's see. That doesn't take away from people being the eyes and ears of their neighborhood. Because if you follow the same rules as the town watch, you should be okay. Anyway, she said that he was there as the coordinator, and he told her that he was assigned that position by the president of the homeowners association of the complex that they lived in. All right? So she said she gave her instructions to tell volunteers to do on what to do if they begin following a suspicious person. She gave them instructions. Zimmerman was there. Zimmerman received specific instructions what to do. And she said, well, she said, we tell them they don't do that if they begin following a suspicious person. We tell them they don't do that. Volunteers, her instructions to tell volunteers to do if they begin following a suspicious person. If they begin following a suspicious person. She said, we tell them they don't do that. That's the job of law enforcement. The job of law enforcement. That's what you pay them guys for. The same instructions apply for confronting. Everything Zimmerman did, followed and confronted. Not to confront, to let the police department do the job. They're not supposed to take matters into their own hands. Law enforcement, that's their job. Let law enforcement take that risk. Zimmerman took it upon himself to go on and just do what he wanted to do. Why did he make a conscious decision? Because there was no urgency. Man was just walking, kid was just walking down the street armed with Skittles, and I think he has iced tea or something. Skittles and iced tea. So, I mean, that's a threatening, forgot. He had a hoodie. So that makes him very dangerous. I guess. I don't know. There was no urgent matter going on here. Anyway, so, from provocative sort, eyes and ears do not follow, do not confront, do not need guns. They need telephones. With all this evidence, they found Zimmerman not guilty. He did everything he could do to confront and eventually murder Trayvon Martin. Kid didn't stand a chance. Zimmerman was hell-bent on a confrontation and made a conscious decision to disobey the police dispatch and town watch protocols or rules. You understand? Because he knew better. He knew that was a dangerous situation. And what happened as a result of him disobeying those rules is one of the reasons why they say you don't confront anybody. See, because that wouldn't have happened if that was a police officer. Police officer would have saw him. He'd say, how you doing? Where you going? I'm going home. My dad lives up here. I just came from the store. That would have been a done deal. Oh, okay, kid. Where you live at? 1919 Hart Street, whatever. That would have been that kind of. He's a stranger following a stranger. He's an adult following a kid, you know, a youth. Man, is it a such thing as a stalking law? That is it okay to stalk people? Anyway, Zimmerman's father stated Zimmerman is a Spanish-speaking minority, and he has black family members and friends. He would be the last person to discriminate. Zimmerman's just such a good old guy, right? Well, pump provocative thought. Black cops discriminate. You don't have to be white to racially profile, discriminate, or perpetuate the racist agenda. Why would this white Hispanic cop want to be be any different. Actions speak louder than words. If you take race out of the equation, you still have a crime of murder. It's not even, you don't have to look at it. It could have been two white guys. He killed that guy. He followed a white kid and ended up murdering him. You know? He's causing that, and he's the adult. So if they got in a fight, a fist fight or whatever, is that the law now? If you get in a fist fight, you're losing, you're getting your butt kicked, you can kill a person because you think that he's trying to kill you? Is that it? That was the self-defense rule supposed to be covering? Is it just giving people a license to kill if they lose a fight? Do Zimmerman's black relatives and friends know that he feels there is no particular issue impacting on the lives of black Americans and law enforcement? It is academically and historically well documented. Does Zimmerman mean the lives of the unchained, untrained blacks don't matter? So what? He has black friends or family members. You couldn't be my friend if you thought that my life and the lives of my people were not disproportionately impacted upon by law enforcement, did not matter, and you would not be my family member, even if you were by blood. Zimmerman does not choose to fight against white supremacist violence, political injustice, and discrimination against the black people. He is so connected to. You think he go after the KKK Nazi groups, but that is not who he is. He is a poster boy for why black lives matter. Racist is as racist does. If the shoe fits, then wear it. Zimmerman's shoes fit perfectly. Oh, yeah, here's where he goes. He sold a gun. They said, anyway, for $138,000, $138,900. That's what the Orlando Sentinel reported. That's crazy. What makes that gun worth that? What kind of person values a murder weapon at that price? Anyway, Zimmerman claimed the black teenager, Trayvon, was trying to bash his head on the pavement during a struggle, and a jury found him not guilty of second-degree murder and manslaughter. Police initially declined to arrest Zimmerman, accepting his story of self-defense, and it sparked all kinds of protests down there, as I said in the beginning. So anyway, a special prosecutor later brought the murder charges. That's the lady that he's trying to, get out of there. He's going to sue her, too. She's on the lawsuit, too. She said that Zimmerman of profiling Martin and chasing him vigilante style rather than waiting for police to arrive. Because once he decided to pursue Trayvon Martin, pursue to go in the direction of him, he is no longer acting in the capacity of a town watchman, whether he's registered or not. That's George Zimmerman doing his own thing. So that was the initial attempt to absolve Zimmerman from any wrongdoing. Good work. One less nigga to worry about. The need to protest and a special prosecutor is indicative of how deep racism and injustice are rooted in government. An acquittal means it was okay to murder Trayvon Martin or anyone else under those set of circumstances and conditions. Now, put your child in that scenario, black, white, Latino, Asian, or whatever. Now, put you in that scenario. Really, is that okay? Anyway, George Zimmerman is quoted as saying about the gun that he sold, he put on auction three times. This is a piece of American history, he wrote in his auction listings. It has been featured in several publications and in current university textbooks. This guy is, he's a special, special character. So, now, from Provocative Thought again, Zimmerman's gun is as much a part of American history as are the ships they brought the captive slaves in, the chains that bind the slaves, the ropes they used to publicly lynch blacks in America, the photographs the communities proudly posed for after the torturing and murdering of blacks, the knives they used to dismember blacks and cut the babies out of a mother's womb, the whips they used to tear the flesh off the body of blacks, the firewood they used to burn black folk, and the trees. We should never forget the trees where strange fruit hung. They also felt no remorse as they diminished and criminalized blacks and made a mockery of the criminal justice system by justifying their dissociative, heinous, murderous acts. That is the only part of American history good old George could be referring to. He mirrors it 100%. Again, Zimmerman is a poster boy for why Black Lives Matter. So we have a caller. I'm going to take callers now on 7104. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Okay, looks like they're not ready. We're going to take 8662. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. What's going on? My name is Lewis Scott, and I'm calling in from prison right now. I'm incarcerated. We actually spoke last week. Uh-huh.
Okay.
We actually spoke last week.
Happy to have you on the show.
You know, so. Yeah, it's a pleasure. I appreciate it. Definitely. So, I was calling in. I was pretty much speak my piece on the whole topic of, you spoke about Trayvon Martin, you expounded on that whole situation with Zimmerman and things like that.
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Rockview.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to share my perspective on that, and honestly, like, I feel like what Zimmerman and is to like Trayvon Martin is what American is to our people as a general, as our black people as a general. It's pretty much the lack of apathy for our humanity. You know what I mean? Like, the lack of the empathy, the no compassion for our flesh, our blackness, and it's mind-boggling how, you know, he is just one of many cases. It's bigger than right now. It's bigger than Zimmerman. It's bigger than Trayvon, because it's our black people as a general. Like, we're constantly being animalized. We're constantly being, you know, demeaned. We're constantly being painted in this, as if we have, our life has no value, and treated as if our life has no value, and then they capitalize off our blood. And it's unfortunate, because like you said, you spoke about Zimmerman, how he was selling, you know, he was making money off of, you know, the what's it, hoodie or whatever he was using, that he used when he killed
The money,
Trayvon
the job, the gun.
Yeah.
He's selling the gun.
did the gun.
Off. Yeah.
And not only that, but look, if you can remember, like, he was known to address himself as, hey, my name is Zimmer. I'm the one who killed Trayvon Martin. Like,
that's
like
right.
He gloated in that little notoriety that he had.
Right.
He got from that man's blood, and a lot of people
that's
don't
right.
take into account the family that is still grieving, that is still mourning their son, that mother that is still mourning her son, that these wounds are being reopened once again, and it baffles me, man. It is, it does, and it just shows where we at as far as just not as a country, but as a people. You know, like you spoke of that Black Lives Matter, when they're trying to show the blacks, the beauty in blackness, you know. But
right.
I never forget this quote I heard on this movie. It's called The Hate U Give, where the woman, she said, it is impossible for us to be unarmed when our blackness is the weapon that they fear. You know what I mean? So it's like it's mind-boggling, man. It's mind-boggling. It really is, and it's so unfortunate. However, I just can't. It's saddening. I think about the mother who has to. These wounds have to be reopened. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
the countless lives, of our people that has been exploited, and you know that they constantly capitalize off our blood.
Mm-hmm.
They capitalize off our blood.
So what do you think about the fact that he was in court, mm-hmm. taken to court? Because originally he wasn't going to court. It was you shot him, you kill him. He tried to do something to you, shot him. Okay, we got him. We pick him off the ground. See you later. They wasn't taking him nowhere. You know that, right? Initially, he wasn't going nowhere. You know, so the people started protesting. That's. What do you think about that?
I'm gonna be honest with you. Like it doesn't take me by surprise, because how many of if it wasn't for like the way the dynamic of our world has changed, the technology and stuff. But I feel like if it wasn't for a lot of technology, a lot of our lives would be unaccounted for. You know what I mean? Because
right.
if it wasn't for us protesting and our voice being heard, then nobody would have moved.
Right.
It would have been another one swept under the rug. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And so that's my whole thing. Is like. It like I said, again, a lack of compassion, the apathy of the black skin. It's unfortunate. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is unfortunate.
So is it just that they think that we're beneath them? And I'm just asking you a question. Or do they fear us? Or what is it? Are we feared? Are black people beneath people? Or do they fear them rising up? What is it? I mean, what is it? What would make a person just,
To do, honestly, for real, it's a multitude of things. Fear is definitely embedded in it, and because I like the image of the blackness in the media is always painted as inferior. We're always looked at as beneath, and that can subconsciously make us feel that way. But fear, ignorance of our people, like without a doubt, and us as well. Like I feel like. If you look in history, like you look at like the Black Power movement, like the Black Liberation Army, and those the Black Peace Donation, all these people, like they were about integrating the Black community. We had Black powerful leaders. We educated our people. A lot of crime, a lot of these things were down. We policed ourselves. So they fear that. They don't want integration of blacks. They want us to constantly, bump heads and look at each other as if we were different. So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
Yeah, I think fear is definitely an integral part of it.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, he was, I don't know if you know about the jury. The jury was a jury of six women. One was a woman of color, the five were Caucasian women.
Oh, no,
what do you think about
see,
that?
I didn't. Of the jury being women, six being women of color.
One
being
six women,
Caucasian?
One of color, five white.
Wow.
That's just on the surface.
Yeah,
that's on the surface, description of the group. There's more to it than that, but, you know, we won't have time to just go into the
details. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Even with our people, like, one thing I've learned is propaganda and fear can compel people to do things that, you know, to react just based off of that. So, you know, they painted Trey. They tried to criminalize Trayvon Martin. They like they do everyone. You know, Mike Brown,
right.
When he, you know, they made him seem like he was bad. It was that just to compel people to go against, to resist, to not be a part of. But no, that's not the case. At the end of the day, that young man was harassed and killed.
Right.
You know,
right.
But my time is I gotta go. You know, I'm incarcerated. So
all right, brother.
I appreciate you letting my voice being heard. And
okay, Lewis
and,
Scott.
I love
that.
Without a doubt. And my family's listening, so I just want them to know that I love them and I appreciate it, brother.
We love
okay,
you too.
Brother.
Yeah. All right, bro.
All right. Peace out.
The caller has hung up.
All right, we have another caller on 3263. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, Carl, how you doing, good brother? This is
right,
brother
Mark.
I'm good, man. You know, I was listening to the brother, right, the young brother, right, and I'm pretty much old, you know what I'm saying, I'm 60 years old, and basically having nothing changed. And one of the things he pointed out was that we are threatened. We are threatened just by the color of our skin. Now, when you take, for example, the police, right? The police, I don't care what color you is, they train them that we are the criminals, we are the bad guys, and they supposed to be protecting us. But this is how they look at us, as we're the bad guys. I don't care, even some of our black cops will kill you quicker than some of the white cops. Because, like your brother was saying, that stereotype and the propaganda, they stick with the blue, protect the blue. And when it all comes down to it, it's nothing but white supremacists. That's like in some of these churches, and I got to say this, some of these churches, they still got a white man up on a cross, these black churches. Don't they know, understand by now, that's nothing but propaganda? You know what I'm saying? And I don't go in none of these churches when I see a white man up on the cross. And I'm tying this into white supremacists is in the police force. You know what I'm saying? At the same time. But the reason why a lot of black cops go along with it, because of their money and their jobs. Like you had Uncle Tom's, you know what I mean, and slavery. You had house niggas and you had, you know, the field niggas. And that's, they fit right in. It's about my money. It's about my job. But at the end of the day, they will kill them too. You know, so when it's no right and wrong when it comes to us, it's all about we're a threat. I remember Malcolm X one time in 1968, 69, he was on a talk show and he was talking about integrating about us because we can't get along, you know, and they were saying that we're violent. They say you're talking violence. But every time we talk about something about integrating and about helping our people, we're violent. But the Ku Klux Klan has been the most violentest people. White people have been the most violentest people on earth that I know of. You know what I'm saying? They always go around taking.
We ever had one of them?
What'd you say?
Public lynching. Have we ever had one of those? Where the whole community comes out to murder and torture and murder somebody?
No, we never had that. I don't know a time that we had that. Even when the Black Panthers was in office, they was protecting their people, but they didn't get violent until they got violent with them. We never came out
right.
and hung no one and shot no one for nothing. You know, I look at
right.
I can name a bunch of cases. Even with Mumi, I used Move Jabbar. Even with Move, I seen the brother Move came out with his hands up, and they still beat this brother and shot him. They burned a house up with kids in there. So we still looking at the same system from the day the Civil War, when they supposed to gave us freedom. They convinced the Ku Klux Klan to let them know that we're balls. You know what I'm saying? Y'all really not free to a certain extent, but we still balls. You know, and once
right.
we wake up and look, any, if you look at any black man, I'm talking about from Marcus Garvey, from on to Malcolm X, they kill them. Or even they use us to kill them. They see, they good for using our own people. You know, they put a black face in there and say, oh, we should do this and do that. At the same time, all this is propaganda to kill us. They use another black face. So Trayvon Martin situation, I don't care if the guy was Spanish, half Spanish, half white. He's down with the white supremacists because when they train them that anybody is darker other than if he killed a white person, it would have been a big cry out. If he gunned down a white person, they would have took his badge. You know, matter of fact, he wasn't even a cop. He was some kind of you know, guy that was watching the neighborhood
resident.
That was paying him. Right, he had no
resident.
Right shooting Trayvon Martin. Right, so when I see all this killing today on the streets, even with cameras, they still doing the same thing. You know, they choked the guy with the cigarettes. I can't think his name. Right on national TV.
Eric Gardner.
This guy didn't get no Eric Gardner. They choked. The hold that they used on him was illegal, but they said that.
They said it
the
wasn't.
The whole thing what it was.
They said it wasn't that hold. He said he didn't use that hold.
Yeah, but he did.
So what is it? Is it what he say it is, or is it what it is? Which is it? I mean,
it's
the man said he didn't do it. You said you saw it.
Maybe you didn't see
what the man was doing. I don't know.
Right.
That's what they say. They say it ain't what it is.
Yeah.
It is what they, it's what they say
well,
it is.
Well, it's the same language Trump used. You know what I'm saying? He do stuff and say, we ain't seen, well, we not really looking at what you think you're looking at. See, all of it's propaganda. But if these brothers, and I don't condone violence, but the way our young brothers are killing each other up, if they took that same energy and start killing the Ku Klux Klan white supremacy, then they would want to come to the table because we're killing it too much. It was a brother by the name of Nat Turner back in the 1800s. He got a posse of black men because he felt the slavery was wrong. And they made a real
I think all slaves felt that slavery was wrong. It's just few of them, you know, some of them couldn't do nothing about it. They felt helpless, you know, in that situation. People
mm-hmm.
today feel the same way.
Yeah. You know, what you can go back to Nat Turner, what they did to that brother. They cut his head off. They took his skin and made trophies out of it. Nobody went to jail for that. Nobody was tried for that. That was what you call a human rights concern. Human rights concern. America should have been taken to court for that. You know, but nothing is said. But they can go back and celebrate the veterans, and you know they kill us. But when we stand up and talk about injustices, us, we're violent. Or we're acting. We're terrorists. You know, it's crazy. You know, Trayvon Martin was shot by the same system that had been killing black and brown people for years. And he don't even know himself, you know what I mean, exactly how it go, because he is messed up in the head. You know what I'm saying? We are threats to them, you know? So, you know, what we got to do, sometimes you got to just stand your own ground. You got people that go in the army and die for a country that don't give a damn about them, but yet they continue to think we living in a great country. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to die for this country. If I got to die for my family or me, then I got to go. But I'm not going to let them continue to shoot people in my family. You know what I'm saying? But you got brothers who will be willing to give their life up for a country that don't give a damn about them. That's one of the things we got to stop doing. Like Muhammad Ali said, I'm not fighting no war. I'm not fighting y'all war. That's your war.
Okay. But Mr. Zimmerman said he used that gun to defend himself, his life, against a brutal attack from Trayvon Martin.
Defend himself. The brother didn't even have the brother had some Skittles in his hand. He was going to store. He had Skittles. We know this here. This is just a sham, you know, a way to kill a brother, the same way they killed other brother in the car. I can't think of his name. When his girl was there, she filmed the whole thing. Asked him to show him his license.
Costello.
Yeah.
Costello.
Right. And he asked him for his driver's license. He reached to get his driver's license. He told him, he said, you got a weapon? He said, yes, I have a weapon. He said, I'm armed. You know, I think it was security. So he went
to
for his driver's license. They killed him.
Right. Shot him about, I don't know, four times or something. Yeah.
It's outrageous, you know what I mean?
So you get elaborate a little more on this case right here. The medical examiner they took 36 pictures of Zimmerman after the fight at the police station, and they said that his injuries were not life threatening and were very insignificant, right? The injuries did involve great force, consistent with a blow to the face and an impact to the concrete. He had a broken nose and two small cuts on the back of his head. They were insignificant injuries. Did that sound like somebody was banging his head against the ground to you?
No, no, exactly not. It sounds like
to
fight for his life. That's what it sounded like to me, because he had already reached for his gun. He had his gun out and shot the brother. Sound like a brother was reaching for his life. If somebody's trying to hurt me and they got a gun, I'm going to do everything I can to, you know, try to save my life. But he had no right even stopping the guy. But when they called up and said, do not engage with him, that's the whole picture with this stigma. You know, he wants to engage so that way he can have a way so he can kill him. You know what I mean? This man didn't have no gun.
That's wicked.
You got to look at the picture when his supervisor says, do not engage him with this man. And he engaged anyway, so he was looking for confrontation. So at the same time, he was looking for a way to say, well, I had to kill him.
Sounds that way to me. You know, because he's already been trained not to pursue, right? Town watch, right?
Yeah.
Protocol.
And especially
flyers and everything. Don't pursue. Do not engage. Do not pursue. And then he gets somebody to tell him that, and he disobeys them consciously. But he, you know why he said he did it? Oh, I was trying to get an address. I was trying to get an address for the police. The same people who was telling him, don't go. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, like I said, that's their way of doing things to that way they can pursue what they want to pursue, and then at the same time they can get away with it and say, I engaged him because I felt threatened. They can shoot us now and say they just felt threatened. You know, they got to stand
your
ground law now. You know, where
they can shoot you
if you feel threatened.
Right. That's a problem.
Yeah,
whether they go to jail after they kill you is not the issue. You understand? It's that they interpret that law to mean that they can kill you because they have a confrontation with you. That's a problem. You understand what I'm saying? Like the guy was killed like that. I think we were talking about that at a store. This guy was arguing with his woman, a pregnant lady. He came out. Hey, my woman. Pushed the dude down. Dude pulled out a gun. Guy stepped back. He fired. And he said he was standing his ground, which he wasn't.
When he stepped back, he was never supposed to shoot. Because, first of all, he pushed him, okay, out of his wife's face, pregnant his wife's face. Once he hit the ground, he never pursued him. He just stood there. So when the guy raised up, pulled the gun out, he took two steps back. And he shot him twice.
Right.
And
right.
said he felt threatened. You know, this is so outrageous and crazy, is that this government knows you know, they study, they make the law, they study them. They know that was out of, that wasn't even in the books. If the man take a step back, that means how is he a threat? And you holding the gun.
Right, but I think he didn't
pull anything out.
He was later convicted. That guy was later convicted, I think. But that's not the point. The point is how he perceived and interpreted that law. It cost somebody their life.
Right. Well, that's the
problem.
They put on the book. They put the board on the book so they can kill us and get away with it. I felt threatened. So I stood my ground. They had that law, I think it was in California. I don't know if Pennsylvania got it, but I know a lot of states got it. Where down all down south, stand your ground law. And it's crazy, man, because if they keep doing that, every person they can kill and get away with is just modern slavery. They still doing the same thing, killing us and getting away with it. They hung us. Nobody can look what happened to Emmett Till. Emmett Till was beaten to death, hung, tongue cut out his mouth. No one went to jail for it. When you look at something like that, you got to shake your head and say, it's still going on. I mean, it seems like it ain't got worse than that.
Well, I have a question. In terms of that, still going on, right? What are black people? How is that impacting on black people, or how should it impact on black people, in your opinion? I said, okay, you got things happening to you, but you know, like the community, you see, you got a lot of black people running around. They're destroying the community, destroying other black people. So I mean, like, do they care that these things are happening, or they only care when it happens to them or somebody close to them? Some of them. It's not everybody, because we do have black movements and stuff like that.
Well,
but I'm saying
about
the people that's running around just doing all this, you know, like in Philadelphia, they got a lot of shootings now. Now it's the shootings involving kids. Every time you hear it on the news, it's a kid been shot now. One guy used his kid as a shield.
Yeah, I think it's that they just don't care. They have got to the point where, though, they feel like, well, if it ain't me, I'm not going to worry about it. So, you know what I mean? They continue to kill, so they just on the same page as the Ku Klux Klan. That means the same page, is, you know, I consider them as black Ku Klux Klan, because they said it one time that we're going to make it so y'all are going to be killing your own self. We're going to go put drugs in the neighborhood. We're going to do it by propaganda and make you think that they're the good ones, we're the bad ones. If you go back to high school, everything in high school is considered as a black cat is bad, you black male, the black sheep of the family. So you get this idea as a kid, so you think everything that's black is bad. So why not kill this joke anyway? He ain't nothing. He's bad. It's been told since history. So when you get black-minded people like that, they think like that. I ain't kill this nigga anyway. He ain't shit, because you was taught. That's your brother. I mean, you was taught to hate yourself. You know what I mean? And this is these brothers that's killing each other. They taught to hate themselves. So they don't care about the next one. I'm not saying all the brothers is, but if you sit one of those brothers down and talk with them, they'll tell you that, you know what I mean, he wasn't shit anyway. He did this to me and did that. But what about the innocent people you killing? You know what I mean? They don't think. So I believe it has a lot to do with your mentality and do you really care. Like Malcolm X said, you got white devils and black devils. When they killed Malcolm because he told the truth, he went over to see when Malcolm X went over to Mecca, because Elijah Muhammad was saying that the black white man was the devil. But he might have said that the black man was the devil also. A devil is a state of mind. A person that's corrupted is a state of mind. So I believe it's the minds of these individuals that's killing people. We had a code. When we gang warred, we didn't shoot no kids. We didn't shoot no women. I'm saying, and we sure didn't mess with you if your parents was around you. So we had more respect and dignity. This, I'm not going to say this whole generation, but most of these young boys are caught up in this stereotype of fantasy. And I blame a lot of people like Rick Barnes, I would even say Tupac, when you talk about murdering and killing and killing and talking down about your own women, and women can do this and do that, they take this stuff in their head and they believe this as a real thing. It is a fantasy. See, Snoop Dogg and them ain't walking around out there doing that. They got bodyguards with them. They live in a lavish, luxurious life. But I think these young people can determine, entertainment from reality. You know what I mean? Because it's scary. Because when you see how they shooting, they getting a lot of this stuff from movies. They trying it from what rappers always talk about murder and killing. So I think that's the crew that's lost mentally. And I'm not gonna say all, because some brothers rap positive. You know what I mean? But I don't particularly like it anyway. I'm from the old school. But
okay.
You gotta care.
I'm gonna share some more stuff about this Trayvon Martin thing with you. See what you get your opinion on it. I'm just gonna throw some more stuff at you. Since there was no life-threatening injuries, the only great force was a punch in his nose was broken, right? And like you said, that made me think: did he pull his gun out before he hit the ground? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Basically, that means that there was means nothing was life-threatening occurred in that interaction. No physical evidence, there was no physical evidence of a life-threatening event outside of Trayvon Martin being murdered. If there is no life-threatening injuries or insignificant injuries, there is no need for justification for the use of deadly force. Would you agree with that?
They should have convicted him
Answer my question. If there's no life-threatening injuries or insignificant injuries, there was no need for or justification for the use of deadly force. It was nothing. It's like we had a fist. You hit me, I hit you. Your head hit. I broke your nose. Is that a death sentence? Somebody, you get in a fight, you break somebody's nose. Is that a death sentence?
No, not a death sentence. No. At all. I don't agree with that. No.
That's basically what happened. It said the only lethal threat was a 29-year-old stalking a 17-year-old youth, vigilante style. That's a lethal threat. I mean, you have to have something that's there to kill, or you're trying to kill somebody. So the physical evidence doesn't point to Trayvon Martin battering Zimmerman to the point where it looks like he's trying to kill him. It just points to they had a fight.
To me, it sounds like Trayvon Martin used that force anyway. That's what it sounds like to me. He wanted to use that.
Well, he had a gun on him.
He had a gun on. And so that he was a bully. Do you understand? Like he was bullying. He knew he had the gun. So he pulled him in. He set him up to come in to get in an altercation fight with him so that he can exercise his so-called gun right. You know what I mean? To shoot and feel threatened.
Mm.
So whether he got hit, even if he did hit the ground, there was no reason to kill this young man. He didn't have a weapon.
Right.
He never, and like we said, we don't know if he pulled the weapon out before the fight or after the fight or in the middle of the fight. But if you a man with a weapon, you got more power. All he had to do was tell him to back up, or step off. And I know this man didn't approach him knowing that he had a gun. I know he didn't, because ain't nobody going to approach you, and you are not armed, and they just going to fight you. That's bullcrap. If he approached him and got into a fight, he did that, get him into a fight. So when he got into a fight with him, he probably had already pulled his gun out. Probably already had his gun out and then shot him.
Well, he pulled the gun out after he hit the ground. He pulled the gun out with Trayvon was on top of him, and he shot Trayvon right there. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. He really didn't have to shoot him. He could have just pointed the gun at him. And I think the kid, he didn't really have to shoot him.
Listen, he didn't even – look, I don't even believe that Trayvon fought him. I believe he came to Trayvon and started fighting him. You know why? Because if you look at – Trayvon knew he had a gun, okay? Evidently, he had to see the gun. Why would you approach a person with a gun and you gunless?
Oh, he probably didn't know. He probably didn't see a gun. That's why he was fighting. But he was afraid. He was fearful of this man because he was following him. He was apprehensive. He didn't know. This is a grown man following a 17-year-old. So he defended himself. He stood his ground. But nobody mentioned that about Trayvon Martin because I guess it's like you said, when a black man stand up, that's a problem. So, you know, still there was no imminent threat present. Just George Zimmerman, the vigilante, getting his ass whipped by an unarmed 17-year-old. So he had a firearm. He stalked him. He initiated the conflict by disobeying the police dispatch and the protocols of the town watch. There was nothing deadly or life-threatening or causing great bodily harm about Trayvon Martin's assault, as the physical evidence supports insufficient injuries. So there were insufficient injuries. So I kill you because you caused me to have insufficient injuries. That's what he's saying. That's what the base is going on. You know what I'm saying? So, and I can understand you get hot, you got a gun on you, somebody try to fight you, you know, you have more chance to, opportunity to use, you have a tendency to use that weapon in a situation where, like, if you didn't have it near you, you wouldn't use it. You know what I'm saying? You might even run away. So, anyway, imminent means about to happen. Imminent death means about to be killed, and the only imminent threat of death present was Zimmerman with the lethal weapon. So I don't, you know, Zimmerman was using self-defense to defend himself against imminent death or great bodily harm, what was the imminent threat of death? Because his injuries were insignificant. So how did that, you know, where's the rationale right there? Zimmerman was questioned about getting out of his car to look for a street address to give the police dispatcher. They noted that he parked on a road near the neighbor's entrance in front of a home with a street number clearly posted in a neighborhood, his neighborhood, that he patrols. Again, Zimmerman is attempting to validate and excuse his action. I got out to help you, basically. When the protocol say eyes and ears, if it's in the complex, it's a gated community, it's really no need for this guy to have gotten out of his car because that was unsafe. Because if Trayvon Martin was a killer, he would have killed Zimmerman if he had a gun on him. He was that kind of guy. But he wasn't. He was a Skittles and iced tea kind of guy and, you know, had a little girlfriend up there who was on the phone with him. So Zimmerman showed, they say, at an interview with the Daily Beast, said Zimmerman showed no remorse over the killing and for the first time publicly blamed Trayvon Martin's parents for the incident. Y'all hear that? He's quoted as saying they didn't raise their son right. He attacked a complete stranger and attempted to kill him. Zimmerman said of Trayvon Martin. So he said Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin did everything they could to capitalize on her son's death, he said. She was never a mother figure to him. Tracy Martin couldn't have cared less about their son. He treated him like a dog without a leash. Now, that may get by some people, but it didn't get by me. First, I want to say this. What a pussy. Dictating the narrative. It is what he says it is, not what it looks like. If you are unarmed and being stalked by someone with a gun, who would you say has the ability and the inclination to kill, to cause imminent death or great bodily harm? The answer is the person with the gun. Zimmerman appears to be projecting and expressing his racist ideology in this poorly cryptic statement, implying that Trayvon Martin is a dog off the chain, dogs come from other dogs, and dogs are perceived to be less than human. To train, that train of thought is to devalue the life of Trayvon Martin and his parents. They're dogs. They're less than me. See? It is an old concept used to justify the enslavement, torture, rape, and murder of the black man in America. The untrained, unchained dog is a threat and a nuisance to the community he is roaming in. The untrained dog, he's unafraid, does not yield to the unrighteousness of the oppressor, somebody trying to dominate him. He's unchained, means he's free in the flesh without restraint. He can make his own decisions, do what he wants to do. He can move out your way, make you move out of his way, anything, right? Dog is a domestic animal, a slave to his master, i.e. slave, black folk in this country, is a threat to the dominant slave mastering population and those in alliance with them. So he referred to Trayvon Martin as a dog off the leash. That's a racist comment right there. No. Zimmerman stalked and killed a complete stranger by his own theory. His own theory. He was not raised right. He stalked. He disobeyed protocol. He's a grown man. Trayvon Martin broke no rules. George Zimmerman did. And it caused him to kill Trayvon Martin. To support that, Zimmerman has no remorse for killing Trayvon. Zimmerman is a homicide waiting to happen. This animal needs to be taken off the street. He's the dog, the stray dog, the untrained, unchained animal on the street. The proof is in the pudding. He's killed a young kid who was only going to the store, trying to get back to his dad's house, on the phone with his girlfriend. And he's such a nice guy, though. Zimmerman had several run-ins with the law since the shooting, including domestic abuse charges and an alleged road rage incident. So I don't understand. You could take color out of this scenario and still you would convict George Zimmerman of something. He's not guilty of killing his kid at all. From the BBC, they say George Zimmerman is selling his paintings of the Confederate battle flag. George Zimmerman is selling his paintings of the Confederate battle flag. Y'all hear that? In honor of a Florida gun store owner, Zimmerman stated he is raising legal funds for himself and the store's owner, who in July declared his business a Muslim-free zone. So he wouldn't make much money in Philadelphia because there's a lot of Muslims in Philadelphia. But he's not a racist. But Zimmerman is not a racist. Really? I mean, really? Come on, what does he have to do to convince people? What needs to happen here? So we have a man who apparently does not care or understand the gravity of his act. He takes no responsibility for being irresponsible. Because if you have a firearm on, you have to behave with great restraint. You know, and he did not do that. He did not make common sense decisions. Or else he wouldn't have ended up in the face-to-face with Trayvon Martin. The police do not need him to do anything. There wasn't a crime being committed. So therefore, there's no need to follow anybody. You got walking down the street, you don't need to follow him. No crime is being committed. So to be suing for $100 million also, like, really? You know, as far as I know, his name is a bad word. It's not like George Zimmerman was some great, the name of some great person, some saint before the Trayvon Martin incident. We never heard of him until this incident. But what we heard about him, it's not anything that would grant him sainthood anywhere. So the question is, what do you think about that? Anybody else want to comment before we off for the night? We have about 9 minutes left. Anybody want to comment on how do you feel about this guy not taking responsibility for murdering Trayvon Martin, having no remorse about what he did? Because trying to sell something or communicating that he was the guy that killed Trayvon Martin. And some brothers heard him saying that and went over and punched him in the face. And, you know, because, you know, I mean, even who does that? Who goes around saying that, I killed somebody? I just want to know. How is that, you know, normal? That's the badge you're wearing? I killed an unarmed kid? You're 29 years old? I killed an unarmed kid? Or are you saying, I killed a nigga? I killed this nigga and got away with it? Is that what he's saying? You know, because it sounds more like the latter to me. Because why would you be proud of killing, number one? Why would you be proud of killing an unarmed person, number two? You sound like a monster. You sound like a sociopath advertising that. I killed. This is the gun that I killed this guy with. Even if it was in self-defense. How many people in self-defense are going to be going around bragging about, hey, I killed so-and-so? Who does that? I mean, just that in itself is weird. Then you're going to come back around. You're going to double back and say your character has been soiled. Been like, you don't really have good character based on some of the things that have been reported about you. Based on this incident. That's not good character. Good character, a person of good character is going to do exactly what the town watch protocols say for him to do. He's going to listen to the police dispatcher who says, do not follow. Do not follow means do not go in the direction of that person. That's following. Do not go behind the person. You do that anyway. It doesn't matter what excuse you're making. I got out, I just went to just get the address for you. No. They told you to cease and desist because you had already stepped beyond the boundaries of what you should have been doing. Why? How did these six women, I don't care what color they were, how did they, you know, get to the point where this guy is not responsible for this kid's murder? And he actually said he killed him. He's not responsible at all. Let me see how that goes. Let me put me. I think I see somebody suspicious in my neighborhood right now. I get my gun. I go out. Follow him. I follow him. He notices me following him. I see him looking back. He's looking. You know, I'm still following him. I call the police. Yo, I see him. It's a guy. He looks suspicious. And I run into him, get closer to him, he hides, I get closer. Oh, bam, there he is right there. Oh, snap. We start fighting. Why? Because I'm following him. I'm stalking him. Last time I looked, it was against the law to stalk people. And he pursued this guy. And the only reason why he pursued him is because he, you know, had that gun on him. That's why he pursued him. Now, I bet you if Trayvon was walking down the street with an AR-15, Zimmerman wouldn't approach him. He'd have called the police, stayed in his car. Anyway, I want to thank Brother Lewis Scott for calling in, taking a time out to call the show. Brother Mark and all you listeners, I want to thank all you guys for calling in. Lisa, also, for making it possible for Mr. Scott to speak with us. And just want to say, you know, everybody keep your eyes on this because there are many Zimmermen. You know, he's just one of many. And be very mindful of what's happening to black people in this country, historically and during contemporary times, the nowadays, recent times. Be very mindful of that, how things all take place and how it's dealt with. Because it's very important, you know, as someone said, I don't know if it's Malcolm X, if you don't know your history, you're bound, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, you know, maybe if we cared a little more about who we are, where we came from, what our struggles were, we would be stronger together against these type of things, you know. And I mean, they protested, they did what they had to do, and to get this guy in court. But still, he escaped, admittedly saying he killed this guy, knowing that he violated every protocol that he was told not to. And, you know, it's just, it's sad. He's not a nice guy. You know, he wants to sue the mother. They're calling, referring to Trayvon as a dog on a leash. And we know dogs. In order to do that, you're belittling him. The guy didn't do anything. And the kid appeared to be defending himself against a stalker, which seems to be something you could do. You know what I'm saying? So, until next week, you know, I know this is not a pleasant topic. You know, some people might, you know, have mixed feelings about this here because of your association with different people of different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, but this is not about that. This is about whether or not this guy, Mr. Zimmerman, right, who appears to be a racist anyway, you know, for all practical purposes, he appears to be a racist, whether he was guilty of what he did and got off through the courts and is now rubbing it in the face of the parents and the prosecutors, you know, the prosecutor who prosecuted him. That's incredible that he chooses to take them to court. Until next week, y'all. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.